they're taking what you're saying to them, and they're hoping that you are what you talk. Let's be about everything we drop, because we're going to get tested on it. If the people on the street don't test us on it, God's going to test us on it.
Kill the Mockingbird, Truth to Report, with Sean Chris and Sebastian Farr.
Kick his ass, C-Bass!
Wake up!
Wake up, America!
Wake the fuck up, we'll get fucked the fuck up!
How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Kill the Mockingbird, Truth to Report. It looks like we've been kind of consistent. I think it's like three Sundays in a row. I think we're coming back to try to just say whatever the fuck we want on the airwaves again.
That's right. It's good, though. Like, I enjoy it a lot, and I think if we have a consistent time frame and we're hitting that that slot every week, the future is bright from there.
What's cool, too, is that even though if we do, like, get sporadic every now and then, that we got it. It goes on the page. And then, you know, if people want to look at it later, they can look at it later. If not, fuck it. Don't look at it.
For sure.
If you get to see it. Like, I know that.
And I've seen that you've been doing the rounds on a few podcasts this week, man. And I listened to a couple of them, or parts of it anyway. And nicely done, man.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Good to see you, different podcasts connecting like that.
Yeah, I always preach on here about building bridges, and that's what I've been trying to do and talking to different people. The homies at the Woke Wizards with Graf and them. Like, I had been talking to Graf for a little bit, and then, like, I was going to do his, and he's like, nah, you got to do the whole. And, you know, it was a good time because it's good to talk to other people that may have slightly different ideologies, but, like, I was telling them on there, and then we were all talking about we all want the same shit, though. Like, we all have the same goal.
Exactly. A lot of problems people are facing are common problems, and you can kind of break through the divide and conquer narrative and build bridges, like you said. And honestly, it's a cool thing. The internet has definitely gotten away from the elites. They thought it would be a sure bet to kind of control us, I think, but we're kind of using it against them in the best way possible of, like, networking and sharing information.
Yeah, most definitely. And I'm glad it sounds like the sound works today because you could hear the song and everything. So
yep.
I got some pretty good clips, I think, too. I've got digged up a lot of stuff. You know, there's been a lot going on. I mean, we've seen the mass shootings. I didn't really cover the mass shootings too much because I feel like I don't want to speculate on anything or what they are, because anything could be anything. I mean, I'm not here to throw out predictions. I just say, like, man, it's just crazy. It's kind of weird. It's something I wouldn't expect. Like, it seems like we've seen this story before. You know what I mean? And I kind of started off with the Saki, the good old Saki bomb right here. She was talking about, like, the UN and how the UN ambassador is calling. The reporter basically asked her a question comparing what the UN ambassador said to what happened when, what's his name? Not Lincoln. I always call him Lincoln. You know, the dude that when we had that shit in Alaska with China. What's his name? It's not Lincoln. It's
there. It's their Secretary of State, I believe, right?
Yeah, but I can't remember his name. It sounds
Blinken,
like Blinken.
Isn't it?
I know it sounds. Oh, Blinken.
Yeah,
there you go.
Blinken.
And then she talks about that, and they compare, like, do you believe that this country is inherently racist? And then she kind of says what she has to say. Here we go.
The U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Linda Thomas-Greenfield, talking to her group on Wednesday, said that white supremacy is woven into our founding documents and principles. Now, this statement is getting widely criticized as essentially parroting Chinese Communist Party talking points. So is the president going to remove her from her position as the representative before that body to promote United States values?
Is the president going to remove an African-American woman with decades of experience in the Foreign Service, who's widely respected around the world, from her position as ambassador to the UN? He is not. He is proud to have her in that position. She is not only qualified, he believes she is exactly the right person in that role at this moment in time. I have not seen her comments. I will say that there's no question that there has been a history of institutional racism in this country, and that doesn't require the UN ambassador to confirm that.
So that's essentially the same lecture, though, that the Chinese delegation gave Secretary Blinken in Alaska last month. So does the president think our founding documents are racist?
I would say that I will leave my comments to speak for themselves. And certainly, I think most people recognize the history of systemic racism in our country. She was speaking to that.
I wish it was changed, though. I think it should be called elite supremacy, man. Like, that's a real thing that's been going on for a long time. It's elite supremacy. Are they white a lot? Yeah, sure. I'm not going to deny that, like, or deny this and that. It's elite supremacy that they're always trying to rally the working class to fight the working class. Do we have differences? Do we have things that sometimes we cross lines personally in our day-to-day, either at work or neighborhood? Sure. But the point is that they want us, the working class, to fight against each other constantly. And I'm pretty hopeful, because I think I've seen a lot of people. Just, you've seen it even on TV. You've seen videos of people going, hey, get the hell out of here. What are you doing here? We don't want you here. Like, you know what I mean? We don't need this. Like, people from those areas that, like, people are destroying. And I think people are seeing through some of the divide and conquer. But it's just telling to me for the press secretary of the United States of America is basically condemning the country. And I'm like, well, then how do you come back from that? Like, what's your, like, I don't understand the point of it. Like, I don't understand, like, if I have a broken arm, I want it to heal. I don't want it to continue to be broken. Like, I have to find a way to heal it. So you have to find that solution. Then you're not coming out with any solution to try to bridge that gap. So how are we going to bridge that gap? All we can do is talk. So I'm just going and trying to talk to everybody myself. But I think if we all do that, but we really got to turn off. It seems like I don't see any leader actually going out there and speaking, like, not just this bullshit unity. I'm talking about, hey, man, that's your neighbor. Hey, that's your butcher. That's your pharmacist. That's your doctor. That's your nurse. Like, whatever race they are, culture, whatever. You deal with these people in your community every day. Like, you got to figure that out yourself. You can't, there's no government mandate that is going to stop people from being dicks. Like, it's just, it's part of life. So I think that we need to stop with this rhetoric. This rhetoric has been pretty negative, and I do think that people are seeing through it.
Most definitely. And, like, this is where a lot of the moderates that were in favor of Biden kind of are getting called out for, you know, they were supporting him, saying that he's not on, like, on the same page as the far leftists and the wokists. But really, with Psaki using the same terminology of institutional racism, I would challenge her, if I was a journalist or reporter in that room, define institutional racism in its modern sense and give me 2 to 3 examples. Because honestly, they're such vague and broad spanning terms that they use it on almost everything just to get the emotional reaction out of it. Because that's what all of this really is to trigger inherent or past traumas and inflame tensions in the divide and conquer narrative, which is being driven on a racial basis.
Yeah, like CNN is straight, is playing, like, they made like a little docuseries on an old case, like, where somebody, like, took the KKK to, like, trial, right? I think it may have been in the 60s. I'm not exactly sure when. And like you said, they're reopening old wounds. Is there still fucked up shit? Yes, and definitely. But why can't we just improve that? Like, I don't understand that. Like, I don't know anybody that's against improving any area that's fucked up in America. We're there to try to improve it and raise the quality of life. But instead, we're fighting each other, and it's getting worse. The more we fight, the worse it gets. And the more the bucos on our neck, you know what I mean, per se. Like, the more we have, the cops are going to have more jurisdiction. Look at in Canada right now. I got a couple clips of that. Like, Canada's going crazy. Like, they're letting their cops just pretty much dictate your life. Anything that you want to do, you go through them.
Yeah, the Canada situation is dire at the moment. I would say they are far too polite of a society, and they're, you know, being walked all over by authoritarians. At the moment, with the new policing laws coming through, even a quote-unquote conservative governor of Ontario, I believe, right?
Yeah, but I will say there is a lot of people that are standing up that are, that, as their stereotype of being so polite, they really are trying to stand up, which is cool. Like, you know, you got a few people out, like not even just a few, but there's a lot more people standing up out there because it is pure tyranny. How can you be claimed to live in a free society when someone is asking you where you're going to go?
And they're saying they're not going to pay unemployment benefits anymore through the state. And they're telling people, you know, whether you can or cannot go out for your own livelihood. How are they expecting people to survive? I think the thing is they are not, but they're not going to admit to that openly.
Well, since we're talking about that situation, here's a couple clips from, I have a couple like 18-second clips. Here's the comply clip.
I'm wondering about these new police powers to just randomly stop someone walking down the street or to pull over a car. What happens if a person refuses to answer the police questions?
So by issuing these new additional enforcement measures, it allows police officers to ask the person why they are not at their place of residence and what their place of residence is. And specifically to your question, if you are not willing to comply, then you are breaking the law.
Comply. They just want you to comply. And I think that's the emphasis. That's why I put like name to comply, is that that clip is all about you need to comply. That's it. You're breaking the law if you're not doing what they say to do, because we changed the rules now.
And they're going for a total governance of every aspect of your life.
Exactly.
Like going out of your home can get you stopped by the police, and they can ask you what your, you know, what your intentions or your purposes of being outside of the house. It's madness. I mean, the whole lockdowns being tied to, you know, prison terminology in the way police manage prisons is very apt for the situation that's going on in Canada right now. You know, if you're looking at the numbers of COVID with the whole vaccination scheme, even if you believe that or not, or the efficacy of it or not, numbers are dropping significantly. And the fact of the matter is, why are governments continuing to push even more tyrannical COVID regulations rather than starting to lift back and let, you know, people have their freedoms? They're never going to release their power. We have to take it back ourselves.
Yeah, we have to just go along and live life, like do what you got to do. Like, I think a lot of people in like poor areas, whether you call them like trailer parks or hoods or projects or trap whatever you want to call it, ghettos or whatever you want to call it, I think most people like that already kind of know how it is, and that's how they have lived. Like, you know what the law is, you know you can't necessarily beat it, but you can try to avoid it and you can bend the rules, and that's what people have to do. Like, and the more we connect and the more of us that do it, the less they can do, because they can't control us all. They can't. That's why they use the manipulation to divide us, because together we'll just be like, nah, fuck that, we ain't doing that. And they're going to be like, all right.
Yep. And it's the fear of it, too. You know, they make these big press conferences about it. You know, they have the police chief of the local area or state or whatever up on the stand podium and telling them what the policy is going to be going forward. And, you know, then you'll see the following videos, you know, come out, viral videos of them executing that. And then that's enough to drive a lot of fear into the rest of the population to actually, you know, comply, unfortunately.
And that kind of segues me into another clip. I'm really like not a big fan of this guy, but because he's a super, like, he, I wouldn't say he's a progressive, but he's a old school kind of liberal rah-rah Democrat person. It's Bill Maher. And he even speaks about what the media is doing right now.
Over the past year, the COVID pandemic has prompted the medical establishment, the media, and the government to take a scared straight approach to getting the public to comply with their recommendations. Well, I'm from a different school. Give it to me straight, Doc. Because in the long run, that always works better than you can't handle the truth. Now, I get it. Doctors tell people lies because they don't trust you to finish the antibiotics after your dick starts feeling better. And media? Well, I think we all know if it bleeds, it leads. The more they can get you to stay inside and watch their panic porn, the higher the ratings. But when all of our sources for medical information have an agenda to spin us, yeah, you wind up with a badly misinformed population, including on the left. Liberals often mock the Republican misinformation bubble, which, of course, is very real. Ask anyone who works at Hillary's pizza parlor. And we do know conservatives have some loopy ideas about COVID, like the third of Republicans who believe it couldn't be spread by someone showing no symptoms. But what about liberals? You know, the high information by the science people. In a recent Gallup survey, Democrats did much worse than Republicans in getting the right answer to the fundamental question, what are the chances that someone who gets COVID will need to be hospitalized? The answer is between 1 and 5%. 41% of Democrats thought it was over 50%. Another 28% put the chances at 20 to 49. So almost 70% of Democrats are wildly off on this key question and also have a greatly exaggerated view of the danger of COVID-2 and the mortality rate among children. All of which explains why today the states with the highest share of schools that are still closed are all blue states. So if the right-wing media bubble has to own things like climate change denial, shouldn't liberal media have to answer for, how did your audience wind up believing such a bunch of crap about COVID?
pretty, for someone like him to say that, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, he's a pretty mainstream character, so it's interesting to, you know, see him kind of formulate his own opinions, but you know, climate change denial, that's a whole nother topic that probably void for today anyway. But I have a couple articles that kind of tie in nicely to the COVID narrative. First one on the table here is Pfizer CEO says third COVID vaccine dose will be needed as soon as 6 months after someone receives two shots, with annual vaccinations to follow. Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla said during a panel discussion that aired on Thursday that it is likely people will need a third dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. The potential booster shot would be given 6 to 12 months of someone being fully vaccinated, and he said it's possible that people will need to be immunized against novel coronavirus annually. Pfizer and its German partner BioNTech began studying the third dose of their vaccine in late February. So, I mean, for me, this has kind of been, we've been talking about this for a while, but it's clear as day that if anything, the pharmaceutical companies have got a big corner of the vaccine market in their sights, and that thinking that if it's an annual thing, that's a lot more money in their bank account.
Definitely. Definitely. And like I've said, and like not just me, I didn't think of this, but the whole, this is a great Pfizer marketing scheme. They've attacked Johnson & Johnson, and they've attacked Moderna now. And like they're trying to be the lead and the one and only candidate to be distributed of the vaccine. And they and hopefully it is three. For them, they were like, three shots a year is perfect. That's like a consistent money flow.
After that, that's plenty of money down the line.
Exactly.
And with the vaccine passports, if they get that off the ground successfully, you know that's going to be used to mandate the re-immunization that they have in mind, which is just more of a reason for people to kind of be hesitant, in my opinion, and I would say spread the word of that far and wide. Another interesting article from the same source, Daily Mail, America hits the vaccine wall. Thousands of appointments go unfilled as states across the nation warn the hesitancy to get shots threatens to derail rollout. Evidence is showing that the U.S. vaccine rollout is beginning to stall. Supply is now outstripping demand in many states with appointments unfilled. Experts fear vaccine hesitancy will derail attempts to end the pandemic, quote unquote. So far, at least 49% of American adults have received at least one dose. Polls suggest only around 60% are interested in getting a shot right now. This is far below the projected 70 to 80% needed to achieve herd immunity, which was pushed by Fauci, by the way. But I just find it interesting, like, we're, you know, finally hitting that wall where there was a people who really were clamoring for it, or maybe were at risk and thought they really needed it. And now it's kind of coming down to the general population. So this is where the rubber meets the road in terms of how viable a vaccine passport will be in the future.
And I want to put a little telling sign. First, I want to give a shout out to all the, like, just besides this, that what we do, you got, like, what I was on this week. We got a Woke and Bake podcast, you know, a Woke Wizards podcast. But, like, also I talk about, like, No Agenda a lot. And also I got to say, like, Tom Woods. I don't know if you guys listen to Tom Woods. He's a libertarian. My homie showed me him a while ago, like, I think last year. But, I mean, he's been on for a long time, and he's, like, right up my alley. He's a Ron Paul guy. But he has so much great information on all of this COVID stuff, especially when you're trying to show your family members and stuff. He has like one ebook that you could get on TomWoods.com. It's called The Chart CNN Forgot. And it's great stuff, man. They like, it's a free ebook. You don't got to pay for it. You could just download it. So go to TomWoods.com. This ain't a, I'm just giving him a plug just so you could find this information. It's TomWoods.com. I ain't getting no money for this, so you know what I mean? But it's great info, man. Tom Woods is fucking awesome, man. You should listen to his podcast too. Like, he's got great info. But yeah, here's a little telling sign into what's going on with some of this influence, celebrities, blue check marks coming out and saying all this stuff, pushing the vaccine. Here's a TikTok influencer, and she speaks about being offered money to film herself taking the vaccine. So I'm sure this has been going around to bigger celebrities, and this may be why we're seeing so many celebrities are getting a paycheck for it.
Looking to debate or anything, but I've just seen, obviously, the vaccine tab, and teach their own. If you want to get the vaccine, get the vaccine. To each your own. But I did just want to make a little note that I received two vaccine campaigns paying thousands of dollars to go and get a vaccine, or go and get the vaccine and record it and take a selfie while getting the vaccine. Just going to throw that out there.
So I'm sure this has happened to plenty other, and you'll probably get more money depending on how big your stardom is.
Most definitely. And how much of a following you have and their interactions with your content and stuff. But yeah, I mean, this has been kind of alluded to in various sources I've been following, that especially on more than just TikTok even. I mean, it's across Instagram and definitely in the Hollywood realms of, like, you know, the celebrity elite. You're seeing lots of that where they're pushing the vaccine hard. And obviously there's I think there's a big amount of money moving hands for that propaganda, whether or not they're definitely getting the real vaccine, the same thing that the average person like you or I would get, is another question entirely. I kind of have my doubts.
Yeah, and I just don't understand. Like, right now, I think they're having some event right now, aren't they? On, like, I don't know if it's on Twitter or NBC or it's on TV, something that where they're having Biden, Obama, like, Kamala and a bunch of celebrities there that are going to endorse the vaccine. And I think there's going to be some truthers. I think that guy Cozy, or I don't know if I'm saying his name right, Crozy or Crozy, that guy from New York, that he's a truther. They're like going to be real timing right now on Twitter, like telling people the warning people about the vaccines, kind of telling them more of the information that they're not going to receive watching that program. So that was a pretty good idea. Like, I mean, I just saw it late. I was like, well, we're already doing this. But, like, I thought that was a pretty good idea that they came up with to kind of, like, fight back and give people more information. Because that's what we're trying to say, is that we don't have enough information on this, and that they're paid so much money in publicists and marketing, not just Pfizer, but even our own government. They even admitted that we have publicists and we have a marketing department, and they're trying to market it to the public. And I'm like, well, why do you have to market something that's good? Like, a good product should just sell itself. Like, I don't understand why you have to do so much tricks unless it's not a great product, or you're not sure if it's a great product.
Yeah, I mean, have you been seeing any of the, like, Google advertisements? They're, you know, the search bar is like, what to do during a pandemic, and then it changes, like, all the way down to, like, different searches. And the last one is, where is my local vaccine facility? It's like, there's a full court press from the cathedral, as they say, you know, big tech, the media, Hollywood celebrities, the political elite, they're all pushing for this vaccine. And, you know, there isn't, like you were saying, there isn't actual long-term studies or research on any of these vaccines. They were pushed through with emergency use authorization acts. And, yeah, I'd say be a skeptic always and forever of all these things, especially things like Big Pharma.
Yeah, and this has happened before. Like, we've talked about in other podcasts I've talked about. I think it was, like, 09 or something. They did this to Britain and Australia, I believe, where they were pushing out that they needed these vaccines, and they got the governments to buy up all the vaccines, and then they didn't have enough power at that time in pushing the media persuasion, obviously, to keep it going, because it was, like, found out that, like, it's not as hard as possible. So they just pretty much fucking, yeah, what's it called? They pretty much just, like, it fell off, and they just bought the vaccines, and they were never used. They got their money still, so it worked. So these schemes have been thought of before. They're always trying to find a way to get more money, because that's what you do, right? As a business, you're trying to keep getting more money. But usually what you do is you come out with a great product that's revolutionary, that people want, that, like, they just want to have it. But what they're doing is they're doing typical marketing where they're making it seem like the vaccine's scarce. So then people are like, oh, my God, I don't know if there's going to be enough for everybody, man. I'm going to have to get mine for sorry, bud. Like, it's going to be me versus you. Like, it gets you into that selfish mindset. And then they go, look at – then when people have got it a lot, then they're going to push it on to all of us that don't want to take it, that we're selfish and that we're going to ruin everything if we don't take it. And that's what's really going to be the uproar to see how that's going to work out. But I think it's going to flow not as bad as we think. I think once summer hits, I think that it's going to start, like, there's not going to be much they can do. People are going to go out anyways, and they're not going to wear a mask, and they're just going to live their life. And I think the more people that start doing that, then it's just going to keep continuing and continuing. And you'll still have your people that are, like, so fear-driven that they're not going to ever stop wearing a mask, but that will be few and far between.
Yeah, hopefully. I have optimism for that course of our future, hopefully. I saw a good meme that was saying, like, you know, the more and more people wake up and kind of realize that they are their own masters, they don't have to depend on Big Brother government. You know, they can go out, they can go have barbecues with their friends, they can go play sports. You don't have to wear a mask everywhere. Whether it's, you know, the confidence of the vaccine, or people are kind of seeing through the whole narrative itself and are, you know, more hesitant on all of it. The more and more people are actually going out, the government will have to lift its restrictions, because it can't police all of us. But at the same point, you got to remember, they are going to use that and spin it to make themselves look good, especially through their media puppets. They're going to say, oh, look, we made it through the pandemic. You guys did really well, and we're giving you your freedoms back because we made it. It was through, you know, our government lockdowns and all that we, and mandates, that we did this. But in reality, it's going to have to be through a grassroots kind of popular movement to actually seize the initiative and take it back for ourselves first.
You have to wake up every day and ask yourself, am I a free human being? If I'm a free human being, then I should be. And am I a free human being that it's not trying to harm anybody or damage anybody's property? If I'm living those three, if I'm those three things, then I should have no problem living my life. Like, I don't think that people should be regulating everything we're doing. And little by little, through our whole life, like, it already started before we were born. But we got to, at some point, we have to say that's enough's enough, man. Like, we're tired of this shit. You can say whatever you want to call it. I don't care if you want to call it white supremacy, elite supremacy, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Well, then end it and stop it right now, because people don't want it. Nobody wants this chaos that's going on in the country. Everybody wants people to have enough for themselves, like, right? Everybody's worried about their friends and their family, their circles, their neighborhoods. So why don't you just give the money to those neighborhoods and let them build, instead of this, like, rhetoric of, like, hey, we got to do this, we got to do that, like, all these movements and these grifters that come into these scenes and they just start pushing their narratives and trying to switch people's. It's not about that. It's about people looking inside themselves, bettering themselves to better the world. That's the only way it works. There's no way you're going to force someone to think what you think. So if you fix you, then maybe you'll be able to help somebody else.
I agree. You know, change starts from within. You know, you have to be the change you want to see in the world, I think is a quote from Gandhi. And a lot of people miss that. You know, they're not willing to take that time to look at their own life and their themselves in the mirror, honestly, and, you know, make those changes that could benefit themselves. I feel like a lot of the younger generation now has kind of been molded and indoctrinated to feel like they have to lean on Big Brother government and someone's going to come along and take care of them, you know, just for existing. You know, that's not realistic, even though that's what they're kind of saying that's going to happen with the Great Reset from the World Economic Forum and all that. But that's just another far left utopian communist pipe dream, basically.
Yeah, that's some far left think tank shit. You know what I mean? Like where they're trying to dream up some pipe dreams. But here is some, like, I'm going to show a clip of Trudeau. I'm sure people have already heard these, but and Boris Johnson, of where they're basically saying that vaccines are no good. So they're advocating for more control. And I think people should be aware and pay attention to that, because when people are talking like this, that tells you what they want is control.
I think it's really important that we work from facts and understanding of the science around things. We know, for example, that the UK is ahead of just about everybody else on vaccinations, and yet they maintain very strong restrictions and are facing a very serious third wave. Vaccinations on their own are not enough to keep us safe. We need to engage in the right kinds of behaviors, do things that the Conservatives aren't always good at, like wearing masks, keeping distances, and obeying public health rules.
So that's him, and here's Boris.
But it is very, very important for everybody to understand that the reduction in these numbers, in hospitalizations and in deaths and in infections, has not been achieved by the vaccination program. People don't, I think, appreciate that it's the lockdown that has been overwhelmingly important in delivering this improvement in the pandemic and in the figures that we're seeing. And so, yes, of course, the vaccination program has helped, but the bulk of the work in reducing the disease has been done by the lockdown.
They're just advocating for more control and compliance. They're saying that you got to take this vaccine, but you still got to lock down and you still got to wear a mask and you still got to, like, save grandma. It's like, you keep hearing the same rhetoric over and over, and at what point are you
Fauci, all those same talking points?
The same exact ones. And so if everybody's saying that, like, I think people are realizing that this can help in some way. Like, who knows if it's the Illuminati, New World Order, what's it called, Great Reset, whatever you want to call it, like, whatever, the cabal, whatever it is, right? We know that it's there, and we know that we need to challenge it, and then we need to have a mass non-compliance. You know what I mean? We have to have the masses non-complying with all of these stupid orders, and we have to find ways to reach people that don't understand, that think government is right. Show them, use those aspects. So the people that are against the cops then be like, how can you be against the cops and say the government's corrupt, but then you're going to listen to the scientists and the doctors? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, stick to it. You know, you can't be like, oh, government's completely corrupt and white supremacy, but I'm going to listen to Fauci though. Okay, so how does that make sense? So we got to somehow break these barriers for people to see. And same thing with the other side, where people are constantly only backing the blue and not seeing the other side. Like, okay, there's nothing wrong with backing the military. Well, backing the military and backing the police department, I understand that. The people feel pride in that. And they're two separate things. But what I'm saying is it's understandable that people want to do that. They feel like they have a courageous job, which they do have, like, shit that they have to deal with that not everybody has to deal with on a day to day.
Do that.
But I think they also have to see the other side, that there is negative aspects of it. And then it's not just a few bad apples. There's and it's not just about it's a supremacy thing, but it's just like a personal ego thing to me, that certain people should not be in that position, that they need to be evaluated on how they are with authority. Like, you shouldn't be excited to pull somebody over or get them in trouble. You should be like not wanting – You should be trying to find ways to not let that, like, find a way for them out. An out for them. Like, okay, you know, you were speeding, but, like, I can't give... Because every cop can give you a warning. They don't have to give you a ticket. So they should be, like, more discretion like that. They got... When I see people being cool to a cop and the cops being a dick to him, like, come on, man. You gotta call that shit out. It's for sure. And who's going to push these unconstitutional orders? Police. And I believe that what they're doing now is they're trying to get rid of all these older police that would may back the Constitution, and they're going to get a lot more of these younger woke people. And the thing is that some of these police shootings, you can tell, we can go back and forth, because there's a lot of things I don't believe you should be pulled over for your tags or something in your license plate. That's a whole another topic that we could go down a whole rabbit hole like that, my belief on all that. But with these situations, to say that some of these people are trying to kill these people in cold blood, it is stupid. It's ridiculous. Come on, man. Like, the unfortunate kid that was 13 years old that got killed by the cop. Like, you could tell the cop's, like, grieving right there. He's crying. He's, like, not crying, but he's, like, he realizes that he didn't want to kill anybody, but it's a split second. It's hard to say, because if someone had a gun and I had a gun and I don't know that they have no more bullets in it, you know what I mean? I don't know if they're going to throw it or what they're going to do. It's a split second. It's a hard decision, but I think that there's other ways for us to heal these gaps, because there is a big problem with the war on drugs that has destroyed neighborhoods. You know what I mean? Literally destroyed neighborhoods where they're ghost towns now, and we have to do something about that. So there's no perfect system. Like, we have to realize that we do have to restructure things, but it's not in a way of where it's one ideology or not. It's to raise the quality of life for everybody, to help everybody. It's not about, oh, we need to help this one neighborhood or this neighborhood. No, if we do it across the board and actually change policing in a positive sense, which would be to either put it in the private sector. That would be that's a way to do it. Maybe the private sector could, they go, oh no, it can't. Well, there is always a way. You know what I mean? They'll find a way because they want to make money. Or maybe we break down these police forces to where they're not these huge corporations. You know? But my thing is, if they're not going to back up the Constitution, then I can't respect. Like, then why am I going to back them? If they're going to enforce a mask law, then why am I going to have to back them up? You see what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. When I see them pulling over people for minor things, like, it just makes it hard for me to want to back them. When I know that there's things that are serious out there that nobody's doing anything about.
Yeah, it's a bit of a minefield, all of these stories that have come up recently. It's like, you have to really examine them on a case-by-case basis and kind of do your own research, because the media, you know, is going to take it out of context and spin it to a more divisive narrative. As they have done. I mean, you've seen, like, they were saying that 13-year-old kid was unarmed, but if you watch the full body cam footage, you see there was a gun, that he had dumped it, and he turned quickly right after he did that. It's 3 a.m. in the morning. I mean, not making excuses for the shooting. I don't think it was righteous at all. But these guys are under high stress situations, and with the other one where the woman mixed her taser up with her gun, you know, that's negligence. And it just is reflective of the fact that police are undertrained, underfunded, and in my opinion, kind of given an impossible job, really.
And overly used and way overly used.
Overly relied on for things that they don't really need to be doing.
100%. There should be no traffic violations. They should not be going around actively trying to fight a drug war that's endless, that has just sucked money out of everywhere and done nothing but fill up the prisons and break up homes and destroy families and destroy neighborhoods. And it has done nothing positive. They could have used that money and put it into education and get people to not do drugs. But when you limit with no education and you only have a little bit of options, you're going to go with the closest options that you know you can succeed in. You know what I mean? When school is near possible to achieve for some areas, it's ridiculous to think that you can keep doing something that's not working over and over and over again. And we do this constantly with our government, that they double down on every single situation. Lockdowns didn't work. What they do? Let's double down. Masks didn't really work. Let's double down. You know what I mean? Vaccines have some. Let's double down.
And even look at gun control legislation that they're trying to push through right now. The statistics on that, even in itself, like if you look at it from more of a neutral perspective, there's a ton of cases where, like, it numbers in like the millions, I believe, of defensive uses of firearms to defend oneself or property from bodily harm or whatever. And those never get mentioned. Those stories never get mentioned. But it's hypersensationalism by the media because they're working with the state because they don't want an armed populace.
And when people say, like, you don't need those guns for hunting, I go, man, why do people say that, man? That's not why they wrote it. It's not
about hunting at all.
Yeah, they didn't. It's about a tyrannical government because they know that a tyrannical government, any government that has too much power can turn tyrannical, which is what's happening.
All of a healthy check and balance, really.
100%.
Exactly. I mean, but that's, you know, that's a hard narrative to get across to people who are very media indoctrinated, you know.
And don't get me wrong, but there's also good police officers that I like. People have talked to me on here or in other places, like where I've talked to conversations with people, and there is really good people that want to make changes. And I understand that it's difficult. We're all in difficult times. So I think that we also have to bear that everybody is human. And if we could keep that on that level, it kind of puts it more to perspective of what's going on, because there's more than just what happened in that situation. And when you see a freeze frame of something, it's easy for us to say this, this, and that. Just like when we watch a football game or a basketball game or a boxing match, an MMA match, you know what I mean? We can go easily see the replay and be like, oh, he should have did this, right? But in that 1 second, and they're slowing it down though for us to see it frame by frame, where we could be like, oh, look, the fist was right there. But when it's 1 second right there or half a second, it's already boom, it already happened. You know what I mean? Like, so the reaction just happens, and we have to also take that to account. But I know in these times that everything has to be polarized and it has to be an issue that it involves everybody. So we're constantly at each other's throat, that we're constantly at chaos. So we have to try our best not to even jump into that. I fall victim to that shit sometimes too. Like, you know, I'm trying not to. Like, sometimes I get into too many arguments, which I shouldn't. Like, because really, we should be on a. It's hard though, because everybody's so rooted in their ideas and trying to express things, they get upset if you express something that maybe they don't. And maybe sometimes too, in comments, you take it differently because a comment, you can't really understand someone's intent. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know, like, maybe they were kidding, maybe they were saying sarcastically, or maybe they were. So it's difficult to do that. So I think it is better, like, when we do these and, like, when people, like, come into my DMs and we talk, like, that shit's cool, like, because then you can actually get people's actual perspective on the situation and to have a discussion. And then some people are just, like, mad because people will send, like, the post, you know what I mean, because they share it, and I'm sure they go, oh, you don't believe that? Well, look at this. Like, they probably send it, and then those people come at me. But it's been pretty good, though. I think, like, lately I've been noticing that even most of the arguments have turned into good things, to where, like, I'm actually, me and both of the people have had a good mutual respect for each other, and then both sides have gotten out, and it's been good. So I do see that there is more discussion, at least on our channels, you know what I mean? I don't know, can't speak for other YouTube, and especially Twitter, man. Twitter's a whole nother fucking beast, but yeah, so it is nice to see that there is discussions where we can always agree, and then we can find mutual ground. So we'll be like, okay, that makes sense. Where people have brought up stuff to me where I go, you are right. Like, I'm being biased. Am I biased? Sure. Like, in certain situations, especially when it comes to, like, cops, but that's my experiences. So of course I'm going to be biased, and sometimes I have to put that in check. You know what I mean? To not, like, see the story through that eyes, and we all got to do that.
Most definitely. Couple interesting articles I came across regarding, like, the media, and it's all kind of related to Project Veritas. I mean, we highlighted the – or I think you highlighted the quote, if it bleeds, it leads, you know, with – with the – yep, on that clip. And Veritas had their expose on the technical director there, which, you know, God bless James O'Keefe. He's doing the Lord's work, exposing these people for who they are. I have a good article here, authored by Caitlin Johnstone. The CIA used to infiltrate the media. Now the CIA is the media. Back in the good old days, when things were more innocent and simple, the psychopathic Central Intelligence Agency had to covertly infiltrate the news media to manipulate the information Americans were consuming about their nation and the world. Nowadays, there's no meaningful separation between the news media and the CIA at all. Journalist Glenn Greenwald just highlighted an interesting point about the reporting by the New York Times on the so-called Bounty Gate story that the outlet broke in June of last year about the Russian government trying to pay Taliban-linked fighters to attack U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan. One of the New York Times reporters who originally broke the Russia bounty story originally attributed the unnamed intelligence officials. Today, that is what the CIA, it was a CIA claim. So media outlets, again, repeated the CIA stories with no questioning at all. Congrats. Indeed, the New York Times original story made no mention of CIA involvement in the narrative, citing only officials. Yet the latest article speak as though it had been informing its readers of the story's roots in the lying, torturing, drug-running, warmongering CIA agency from the very beginning. The author even writes, "The New York Times first reported last summer the existence of the CIA's assessment with the hyperlink leading to the initial article, which made no mention of the CIA at all. It wasn't until later that the New York Times began reporting the CIA was looking into the Russian bounties allegation at all." And there's been a lot of news this week that that was completely bunk.
Yes, and that their information was completely wrong, that they can't be verified. And it was kind of a weird story in general, because why would the Taliban need someone to, like, incentivize them to kill American soldiers when that's, like, already the people they're going against?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really... It smelled funny from the beginning for me, and that honestly was a very big red pill moment for me. It was a few years back now, but wasn't it? Or no, it was only 2 years ago, but I'm thinking of another story. But nevertheless, it's just another important current event that we need to highlight to expose that the Mockingbird media very much does work with the intelligence agencies, and they will be their mouthpiece 100%.
And, like, not only do, like, they don't just implant stories anymore, they just work there. Like, it's not even a big deal. Like, look at Hannity, man. Hannity has a CIA pin on his jacket every show. Like, that's something that, like, obviously he supports them. And to me, they're the ones that are trying to do most of them. And it's not just them, but all intelligence agencies. I think that all the intelligence agencies are trying to do that, are trying to use manipulation. And they probably think that it's for a good reason, maybe. I don't know. Like, I don't know the people personally. So they may be like, oh, we're doing the, you know, the Lord's work. We're helping people. You know, people think that. That's how they're able to do evil deeds sometimes. They go to this premise. The same thing with the mask thing. Look how they made it to where it's you're righteous if you wear a mask, or if you're taking a vaccine and all this, you're helping people. You're a hero. You're important. You're a piece. Like, so you can tell with the manipulation, there should be no need for that. It should be like, man, we just really want you to be healthy. Because they say they want us to be healthy, but they still pump us full of GMOs. They don't take that out. They don't say, hey, you can't put GMOs in food anymore. They don't say, hey, you can't put high fructose corn syrup in food anymore. All these things that we know actually that hurt people. Like, I don't know if I've said it. I probably said it before, but there's I keep forgetting to get the clip. But there's a clip of this doctor that breaks down, and there's a study that was done that shows high fructose corn syrup depletes vitamin D levels. And what did we see? 85% of the people in ICU beds were vitamin D deficient. Like, it doesn't take a fucking rocket scientist. I'm not some wizard that, like, I don't know anything. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not some, I don't think I'm the smartest man. I just know that I could look up stuff and try to look for information. I don't try to outsmart anybody, but it's right there in plain sight. And nobody is talking. And if you talk about it, you get in, you know, you get, oh, don't say that. You don't tell people to build up their immune systems. Like, come on, man. Like, people are starting to see through this shit. And now you're starting to see bigger names talk out, speak out. And that's why I think in the summer, you're going to see even more people speak out, especially when they're saying, hey, we have this option of a vaccine. But if you take the vaccine, it's still no guarantee that you can stop wearing a mask, social distancing, or that we won't have lockdowns. You got Michael Moore, who it's crazy because he's one of the red pillars for me, because Fahrenheit 9/11 and Bowling for Columbine were some of the films that there's another one too that he had that kind of introduced me to like Alex Jones, funny enough, because from there I went to Alex Jones, you know. But he's from Flint, Michigan, and he's crying that we should be locked down again and that they need to hurry up and lock everybody down because the numbers are through the roof. But how come they keep saying that we have the most numbers? But I'm saying, what are these numbers? Are they positive cases? Are they asymptomatic people? Like, are the ICU beds? You're not explaining that. And I don't think they want to, because then they can elude anything and make the public think whatever they want. And then you're not really lying. You're just saying information. You're just not giving them the full story, and then the public can panic. It's not up. It's not really your fault per se.
Yeah, precisely. And even back, referring back to, you know, James O'Keefe and Project Veritas, the CNN guy, the technical director, he said it himself, like, the more they had the death counter up, the higher viewership they were getting, apparently, you know, the fear mongering for themselves. So, for one, it justifies the lockdowns and gets people on board with it because they're selling the fear narrative, the fear-driven narrative. But at the same time, I feel like they've really shot themselves in the foot, you know, with the Fauci, and we had Trudeau and Boris Johnson saying, like, oh, after you're vaccinated and everyone, quote-unquote, is vaccinated, you still have to lock down, you still have to wear masks, you still have to social distance, you know, you – they just removed the carrot and they're going to go straight back to this a stick only policy. It doesn't make sense to me. I feel like it's going to really drive people away from going along with the vaccine and the vaccine passport scheme.
Yeah, for sure. That's probably what it's all about. And I think it's for the lockdowns, for control, because I think what this is all a plan for, and they even alluded to that in the Project Veritas piece as well, is that climate change is the next pandemic. That they're already calling it climate change emergency and calling it a health crisis. Climate change will be, if not worse, than what's going on with this COVID. And I think they're trying to get people used to, like, hey, you know, hey, you're going to have to stay in for 2 weeks because, you know, your carbon output has been crazy. And that kind of runs me into this little clip. It's a little 19-second clip that I found someone sent me. And it's a little shot in Australia. And it's I think it's a commercial. I don't know if it's on TV or the radio, but it's a climate change commercial. I think it's a little radio clip. And it's just some of the propaganda they're already starting to use over there, which has been used here, but it will become ramped up like in a few years. You know what I mean? I think by 2022 summer, we're going to start being pretty rampant on the climate change. That's going to be the hot issue.
19 grams of CO2. That's the estimated emissions created by streaming the average podcast on the mobile network. And if you love podcasts, 19 grams adds up. So, what's your carbon thumbprint? Belong, carbon neutral, mobile and internet. To see the impact of your mobile data, visit belong.com.au/carbon thumbprint.
So, yeah, I don't know how much carbon you're wasting watching this, but.
Well, we've wasted quite a bit, but for me, I make up for it because, you know, I eat a lot of animals. You know, when they exhale, they produce CO2. So, you know, I'm helping with the global warming.
We're going to see a lot more propaganda pieces like that, because that is the next narrative. Well, it's always been the narrative for a while, but these other ones are able to divide us into this monk. So then they can go, remember those people that didn't believe in COVID? They also don't believe in climate change. And they go, yeah, see, those guys are idiots. Or, you know, those people that didn't believe in this, they also didn't believe in climate. So they're just trying to cluster.
Theorists. Yeah.
Which is such a crazy thing, man, like to label people that are trying to expose truths. Like, and any type of truce. Like, they're not just saying, like, but, like, certain truces are allowed. Like it's always
basically anything outside of the mainstream media narrative is considered conspiracy.
Pretty much anything against us.
More truth than anything else.
Anything against the CIA foreign policy. Like, and their foreign enough, policy
that
runs.
That was coined by the CIA in regards to the assassination. You know, these little coincidences.
So what's your I know that Prince Philip died, right? You know, everybody made a big old deal about that. They had the little funeral. It was all on TV and everything. What's your thoughts on a good old Prince Philip? I got a little clip of him from 84.
Play your clip first. Okay.
All right. So, like, I think this also feeds into the climate agenda, and it kind of shows you what the elites actually think. Like, this is an actual elitist, you know? And they, I think the agenda is not just climate change, the race wars, the COVID, the World War III's, the Civil Wars, all that stuff. It's just pretense of trying to get their ultimate goal of what people have said for years of with Bill Gates, you know what I mean, with the Rothschilds, with eugenics. It's depopulation. And it seems to be, to me, that that's what everything is, because Boris Johnson and Trudeau and all the politicians in the United States and all around the world know that lockdowns killed tons of people, that the lockdowns made it worse. So to me, they're advocating that they think that's the right way. So maybe they think that's the way to depopulate people. Because why would they say, hey, take a vaccine that supposedly that they coin as being great and works, but then you still have to get locked down and wear a mask. The things that were skyrocketing the numbers, whether it be making people more sick, making people go to the edge with suicide, making people just unhealthy lifestyles of being depressed and other mental aspects of it, missing surgeries for not going to hospitals, such and such. And I think that's what this clip reveals, is that the elites really think that depopulation is the ultimate goal.
What do you think are the most serious issues faced by conservationists and World Wildlife Fund over the next 20 years or so?
95% of the whole of the Atlantic rainforest in Brazil has disappeared in the last 100 years. There is simply nowhere for these animals to live. At the basis of it all is this colossal increase in the human population. It's one of the living species of the planet, but it's reaching plague proportions.
Plague proportions.
And I think he said at one point he hopes to be reincarnated as a virus to kill off a bunch of the world population too. So he's a real piece of work. Him, you know, I'm dual citizen for the UK and US. So, you know, I'm not a, you know, exceptionally anti-royalist, but from a lot of what I've looked into on the royals and the like last three generations and stuff, they're pretty shady. They're tied to a lot of this secret societies and globalist kind of, you know, think tank groups and stuff.
And they're German.
And they're Habsburg Germans, and that ties into, you know, the Illuminati, because they were from Bavaria too. So it's, you know, I'm proudly British on one half, but am not a royalist. So make of that what you will. I think Philip gets a lot of hate for good reasons, but I just think when someone passes, it's not really the time to go after them, whether they were a piece of shit or not.
For sure. I could see that. Like, I totally could back that up. I think, like, not to go after them. I think to show their words is okay, but, like, to, like, smear them, for sure. Like, there's no need for that, because their words can do that themselves, and they can put themselves into a box. And I think that was the point of that clip. Instead of saying, like, oh, they did this, they did that, like, you should know that already. And if you don't, then you need to look it up, you know? But those words are what a lot – and that's 1984, ironically enough. That was when that interview was. It was in 1984. But
weird.
You just see the attitude of the elites, of where they feel like us working class, like, we're just, like, a commodity. We're not like humans, like, we're a commodity to them, it seems like. And I think once we could get that through people's heads and they can see that we're just a number, we're just something to keep, like a cog in the machine, whatever you want to call it, that if you don't see it as that, then you're not really looking through true vision. You're seeing a mirage. You're seeing bullshit, and you need to see through that, because obviously they're trying to divide us, because your neighbor is going to have your back. I'm telling you, like, he is. And these elites want you to hate your neighbor, because if you talk to your neighbor and you unite, that's the biggest threat to them.
Very true. And it's kind of been a long-term thing. Like, I feel like with, you know, the invention of like television and stuff like that, and the way that seeped into society in a big way, people became much more isolated. You know, nowadays people don't really know their neighbors, unfortunately, and that's a sad thing. But now it's gotten to the point with the whole COVID fear driven narrative is that, you know, people are supposed to be terrified of their neighbors for a variant of the flu, which is, you know, it just shows their intent. They don't want people networking and uniting. They don't want the sheep to organize a free herd.
Well, yeah, that's why, like I said, the elitism, like, they have that, I'm bigger than you, I have more money than you, more power, we run the show, so we're allowed to change the narrative. Like, that's why everybody says, you don't even have to call it fake news, anything like that. And I'm talking about Fox, CNN, you can watch it for bits and pieces of information, but both are playing propaganda against each other, and now they're actually going head at each other straight up. They talk shit about each other on air. Like, it's not even subliminal anymore. So you can see the game where it's just like these two companies are designed to go at, to make people against each other, right? If somebody that watches Fox News is inherently not going to like someone that watches CNN just about how they talk to each other. It's almost like people have these weird relationships, even with celebrities and all this. They act like that they know these people, which they do not. They don't know these people, but they build these relationships where they feel like, hey, I've been around, I've known this guy since he started, and this and that. So, like, they've grown attached to these people. So they feel like whatever narrative they have, they're full force with that. And the people that are going against them, that's their enemy now, because they're going against the people they like. And that's what this is all about. And that's what it's been for the last 15, 20 years, or maybe a little bit longer, in the early 90s when we started this 24-hour news cycle.
Very much so. And to people who are still like kind of idolizing celebrities and stuff in a over-the-top manner, it's like, these people do not care about you. Like, you know, they're there for the money and the fame, and they have massive egos to go with it. Just look at the way they just kind of were struggling to properly even virtue signal. I feel like there's a major disconnect from the Hollywood elite and just the elite in general to what it is to be a day-to-day normal human being.
For sure. Like, they can't, like, talk about being in a warehouse, working in a factory, working at a post office, being a chef, like all those day-to-day things that make the world run. And that's why I'm saying, like, you're not going to, the politician is not helping you, whether it's a left or right person, doesn't matter, because that person is not doing anything specifically that's going to help you in that moment. Those people in that town, city, or wherever, that neighborhood, that location that you're at, are the people that are going to help you. So those relationships are way more important. And then building from there with your city council, your mayor, and knowing everything that's going on. If you accept and they are doing shit for your city, then it doesn't matter. If they're doing everything that's good for you and your city and you're benefiting off of it, then it doesn't matter to you what other people are doing, because your city is able to function.
Most definitely. And it's crazy, too, is like people are I just don't understand how people are so like tied into the celebrity kind of dramas with it, too. And it just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, maybe I've just kind of been out of the loop for too long, but even now, like, people are still really tied into it. But I have some interesting geopolitical stories, if you want to go into that realm.
Sure. Let's go.
Western media eager to see Ukraine use U.S.-supplied weapons against Russia. With tensions simmering in eastern Ukraine, U.S. media outlets are happy to push the narrative that Russia is the aggressor and is preparing to invade its neighbor. These reports ignore the fact that Donetsk and Luhansk republics in the eastern Donbass region declared independence from Ukraine back in 2014 in response to a U.S.-backed coup, CIA. Since 2014, the U.S. has provided Ukraine with about $2 billion in military equipment and supported its fight against the Donetsk and Lugansk separatists. Supporting a war on Russia's border is incredibly provocative, but these facts are lost on Western press. And some outlets seem eager to see the situation escalate. On Monday, Politico published a report that asked if it was time for Ukraine to deploy weapons provided by the U.S. to face Moscow. The Politico report reads, as Russia amasses the highest number of troops on Ukraine's border since 2014, the question for Kiev now becomes, is it time to start putting U.S.-made weapons in the field? And it's just, it's wild, too, because this is, if you were to hypothetically say, China or Russia or Iran was backing Mexico or Canada to, train up their forces, equip them, do you think we wouldn't do the same exact thing? It's wild that Russia's been drawn up as the big bad enemy now, but it's just
we're going to their turf. But it's for sure.
Big military industrial bucks for the right people from the U.S. government selling or donating stuff to the Ukrainian government.
Yeah, and it's just weird timing too, because also didn't Biden withhold $150 million to them too? I mean, the timing of him with all the corruption that happened in Ukraine with his son and him, and it's just the tensions and the bias, but you're absolutely right. If someone was at our border, we're going to consider them a threat. We're not going to consider that's our fault. We're going to consider that them for coming to our border as a threat. If China or Iran or whatever came to the border of Mexico, you know what I mean? We're going to be like, what are you doing, man?
It just feels like the media is just priming this powder keg for a major proxy war right there on Russia's border. And they're talking about Navalny, how he's in Russia, and talking about who's going to come in after Putin. I feel like there's a big agenda by the globalists to get Putin out of office. There's a lot of reasons for that. I feel like he's outside of their sphere of influence and they want to have that influence.
Yeah, but remember there was a report last year that he said he was stepping down. In a couple of years.
He's got health issues, but he wants to step down. This is kind of the thing. It's a cultural difference. It's hard to explain. Russians, I've talked to some Russians I know personally about this. It's like they kind of want a strong man. They kind of want a authoritarian figure they can depend on to a degree. Not necessarily saying they all want to go back to communism, but it's just the way their culture kind of runs. It's very, democracy is kind of new to them in the modern sense. And that's kind of, I think, yes, Putin is corrupt and has his issues for sure. But then again, there's a lot of genuine support for him, too. So it's hard to say. I don't think we have a right to depose leaders of any other country. But especially here we are, Biden administration going after several nations.
Yeah, because we got the whole Taiwan, China issue, and then we got the Ukraine, Russia issue, which is both explosive, which can both end very badly for us. But I just think it's just a bunch of ramped up shit that we're going to see, like we've talked about. We're going to see proxy wars. I think we're going to see either Iran or I think they're going to let the Russia Ukraine play out. I don't think we're going to get too involved, but they have talked to the UN, and now supposedly after they ramped it all up, Biden's calling for, de-escalation, this and that, but it's a little too late for that, where you're already pissed them off, because the Russians are they're kicking out some Americans out of the country. They've kicked out some the Czech Republic, some people from the Chesney, or what is it called?
They
kicked out some other people.
They tried
too.
To assassinate the Belarus president, right? Mm-hmm. That's part of that plot. Okay. Yeah, that was interesting. I only read a little bit about that, but seems very suspicious. because the media in a big way was going after Belarus because they weren't going along with the lockdown stuff and that narrative. You know, they weren't having mask mandates and they weren't restricting travel like the rest of, you know, the nations inside of the globalist influence, if you will. It's a lot of stuff going on in that part of the world that I think everyone should be keeping an eye on.
For sure. Like, and it's not much in the news as it should be. Like, Tulsi Gabbard's been a big advocate for that. She's been talking about, she's worried about nuclear war, obviously, because two nuclear powers provoking each other is not a good thing. I mean, I don't see that happening. I think that's like a pretty drastic measure. Like, that would have to, you know what I mean? Like, I could see if you like all Russia was burning and to get some kind of reaction, to get some kind of like justification. But like, that's just something that I don't see really in the realm of possibility. It's a scare tactic they use. But I think they're going to ramp up this Cold War again. And then we got a Cold War with Russia and a Cold War with China. And we got infiltration of intelligence on all sides. So that's why I think the messages are so mixed up, because you have, not only do you have like the U.S. intelligence agencies, but you have, you know, their allies agencies and the ones that they farm out work to, because they farm a lot of work out to other agencies that are willing to do things that are maybe the CIA is not allowed to or NSA is not allowed to. They farm them out to other companies. And then you have the enemy intelligence agencies. So you, that's why you see a mix, all kinds of messages, and you see all these rallies. And I think they've been blessed to be in an age of social media where it's a lot easier to get your message out there and to rally people up, because you can just have one comment where someone says something and someone just says something outrageous. Like, say someone's like, man, my grandma just died. And then they just say something outrageously fucked up to ignite some kind of hate in you, because obviously they're crossing a line in your life, and that's how you get it going. And then people are just, it's chaos and people are just fighting each other. And that pushes the elites to be like, hey, you need to get your shit in control. You need to have that China blueprint. And I think that's what it is. They want everybody to have that China blueprint and to where it's mass control. Like, one of the videos I posted up the other day, like, to me, was just telling. Like, the guy says, you know, yeah, there's cameras on all the, on every corner, and it might seem like a police state, but if in China, we believe that if you have nothing, if you've done nothing wrong, then you have nothing to hide. And I think that mentality is over here too. So it is scary that that could be a mentality that's used. That's what was used for the Patriot Act. Like, if you're not a terrorist, like, don't worry if the TSA is going to search you.
Exactly. That's always the justification for taking away liberties for the excuse of additional security, which is always kind of a oxymoron in itself. The security they provide is just an invasion of your privacy and your individual sovereignty and liberties, which, you know, they always seem to have these solutions at hand right when the crisis comes up. I mean, you look at the Patriot Act coming in after 9/11, and more recently with all the lockdowns and stuff that favor the corporate elite, more recently rather than small businesses. And I feel like that's a big agenda in itself. Another one too is, like, I feel like these big riots harken back to the RoboCop movie, where the super elite were trying to buy up big portions of cities, inner cities, after they'd been destroyed by riots and unrest. So,
which is going on right now too.
We're living in, I'd say.
Yeah, which is going on too. That's another thing about the housing market that people got to watch out for.
With the Blasio.
Yeah, well, like, the housing market, like, corporations, since the market's been kind of fickle, they've been going into the housing market and either buying land or buying actual houses. And you're gonna see like houses going up and up because they're not gonna sell. They're just letting their money sit there so it can not lose any value.
Yeah, precisely.
Well, that's all I got in clips. I got only like a little outro. I don't know if you got anything left.
Kind of went through it all. There was a couple crazy stories on censorship. I just do the headlines. Facebook censors link to New York Times post exposing BLM founders' home buying spree. which was, you know, a pretty big story that came out this week. But, you know, it's interesting what they pick and choose to censor. Another one was, you know, Twitter deplatformed James O'Keefe after he dunked on CNN. Another headline was Google shadow ban searches for riots today following violent unrest in Minnesota. So if you did a side-by-side comparison from other search engines like DuckDuckGo to Google and search riots today, on Google, all the articles would more or less be related to January 6th. On DuckDuckGo, they would actually be about current civil unrest, which is, you know, in itself just showing more evidence of the Mockingbird media, big tech, and the cathedral all kind of working together to control the narrative.
Yeah, that there was a lot of that, and you see a lot of people getting deplatformed. And but the good thing is that, like, they've been able to retain their audiences, and a lot of them already seen this coming, and they had websites prepared, and they had stuff for people to go. And once your name's out there, I think that's the one thing you don't have to worry much. Because, you know, you're going to be like, people are going to find you, man. If you have a message, people are going to find you, man, no matter what. So I think that's the good thing. And there's been a lot of good, you know, some positive stuff. Like with, like I said, I think a lot of more people have been kind of defiant and trying to, like, not comply with what's going on. And they're seeing through the bullshit. So that's always good. And I think more and more people are getting that positive energy, which is what we need out there to spread, to wake up people. It's not about just, you know, doom and gloom. Because that's going to get us nowhere. That's only going to get us so far, you know? Doom and gloom of trying to always think of the negative. There is positive aspects. I see that the vaccine is having holes in their arguments. And then people are getting to get their message out more. And I think people are starting to change their arguments, because that's a big deal, is you have to change your argument sometimes. Don't use the same argument that everybody's using. Like, tell them, like, different things. Don't say, yeah, the vaccine's bad or it's experimental. Tell them, like, well, why is it not FDA approved? Be like, why are, when there's treatments, isn't that how, do you not believe in processes? Why do we have GMO foods? You know what I mean? Why is there cancerous products? There's a lot of other things. And I think people are finding different arguments that are able to get the message out there better.
Yeah. And even tying into, like, how they want you to stay in your home and be locked down and hide away from society, where, you know, getting out and exercising, exposure to the sunlight and getting that vitamin D, those are some of the biggest things you can do for yourself, not only for your health and well-being, but your mental well-being too.
Yep, for sure. Well, like, appreciate everybody that stopped by and, you know, spoke their piece. Go check out that, like I said, that TomWoods.com. Get that free ebook, the CNN charts, the chart CNN forgot. It's great, man, for any kind of argument you're getting into. Check us out on Spotify and Apple, uploading more podcasts up there. You can, if you can't find it there, you can always find the repeat of our episodes on Instagram while it lasts. I'm pretty sure we got a little bit of time, but we've made through the purges so far. And yeah, you can check out my music. I got a new single out with my homeboy King Mega called Shut Him Down, Christian Brothers. We got another podcast called Over the Influence, where we do, you know, we kind of just bullshit, talk some shit, like, kind of let it loose and not so much talk about politics, because, like, you know, it gets old, man, talking about the damn politics and politicians that are fucking corrupt. But other than that, man,
all the time.
Other than that, then, everybody, man, just fucking have a positive week and just don't comply, man. Fuck them. Wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up. And we're going to end on this little song that I found. Man, the Brits just have the best fucking talking shit elite song. So here's, I'm not sure who it is, but here we go.
Oh, Bill Gates is a wanker. He wears a wanker's hat. He pops up on the BBC to sell the COVID vax. And everybody laughs at him when he says, get your shot. He thought that he was clever till we told him to piss off. Oh, Fauci is a wanker, he wears a wanker's hat. He hangs around with Bill Gates now to sell the COVID vax. And everybody laughs when he says you must wear a mask. If he's really a doctor, then he should be brought to task. Oh, Bojo is a wanker, he wears a wanker's hat. He gets up in 10 down and straight to sell the COVID vax. And everybody laughs at him when he says shut pumps down. Cause we just throw a party now in every single town. Ha ha ha!
seems to sell the COVID vax. And everybody laughs at him in his shorts trying to dance. And when we ask him questions, he pisses his underpants. Oh, Hancock is a wanker, he wears a wanker's hat. He kisses all their asses up to sell the COVID vax. And everybody laughs when he said bring the army in. Cause this is one war we the people definitely will win. They're all a bunch of wankers, they all wear wankers hats. They all pop up on TV now to sell the COVID vax. So everybody laugh when they say what we all must do. Just turn around and say to them, piss off, it's just a flu.